Good evening, and welcome to Safilo Group conference call on first quarter 2011 results. This call may contain forward-looking statements relating to future events and operating, economic, and financial results for Safilo Group. Such forecasts, due to their nature, imply a component of risk and uncertainty due to the fact that they depend on the occurrence of certain future events and developments. The actual results may therefore vary even significantly to those announced in relation to a multitude of factors. Today's participants are Roberto Vedovotto, Chief Executive Officer, Vincenzo Gianelli, Chief Financial Officer, and Barbara Ferrante, Director of Investor Relations. I will now pass the call over to Mr. Roberto Vedovotto, Chief Executive Officer. Mr. Vedovotto, you may begin.
Thank you very much. Good evening to you all, and welcome to Safilo's first quarter 2011 results conference call. Vincenzo Gianelli and Barbara Ferrante are here with me tonight, and together we will guide you through the results of the company, and we'll also try to leave as much time as possible for questions you might have at the end of our presentation. I'm particularly pleased to say that the first quarter results pointed to what I would call a dynamic start of the year. I still prefer not to get too excited about it, because the remaining part of it will probably be characterized by a challenging business environment and certainly an uncertain geopolitical scenario. As you have seen from our press release, Safilo started 2011 with renewed growth in the context of the steady improvement of most of the selected mature economies, and also because of the continued momentum of its addressable new markets for branded high-end products. Our unique brand portfolio, enriched by the new January 2011 collections, was the engine behind new business opportunities that we tackled in order to continue to stretch our reach and presence in the marketplace. All of these allowed our core wholesale business to continue to grow in line with last year. I would now like to underline the fact that our revenue growth was accompanied by a significant improvement of the group's overall level of profitability and by a stable financial leverage at 2.4 times, which is precisely in line with the record level reached at the end of 2010. Now, if you want to go into some more details, I'd like to drive your attention in particular to the following elements that contributed to the 2011 first quarter performance. Number one, we registered mid-single-digit top-line growth, and we are encouraged by this result, particularly in light of the positive performance of the collections of our new licensed brands, namely Tommy Hilfiger and Boss Orange. Those two collections made up for the discontinued business of the license we did not renew at the end of last year. Number two, we significantly improved year-on-year profitability. EBITDA margin is today at 13.5%. Number three, we return to a significant bottom line net profit. In fact, we need to go back to the first quarter of 2007 to find Safilo's net margin at 6.1% of sales. Number four, we continue to be extremely disciplined and we maintain the financial leverage under control, as I said before, at 2.4 times EBITDA. Let me now give you a brief overview of the key Q1 2011 drivers. Let's start with market trends. U.S. first. The U.S. market continued to register a positive growth trend, sustained by strong performance of the sunglass business. Our collections registered a positive performance in all major department stores, as well as in our retail network Solstice. Performance was particularly strong in the first 2 months of the year, and in Latin America, we had a solid performance too. In Latin America, we continue to invest in our organization with a tailor-made approach that enables us to respond better and quicker to the growing demand coming from these countries. Asia. Asia continues to grow at a double-digit pace, excluding Japan, where, given current circumstances, things appear to be under control. Fast growing markets contribute today to roughly 14% of our total sales, and we are well positioned to take advantage of the positive trend going forward. In Asia, our brand propositions are increasingly successful. We enjoy a superior distribution and a superior visibility, and this is paying off, particularly in those markets where consumers' demand for our brands and collections continue to be strong. The trade shows in China and Korea last February were the most recent occasion to test the strength of our business in Far East, and we were very much encouraged by the new accounts that we have been able to open. Europe, on the other hand, is a different story. It's still flat on last year level. The business scenario remains uncertain and mixed. We actually have some pockets of growth represented by strong key accounts, improvement in countries like France, and to a lesser extent UK, and promising results in newer markets like Russia and Turkey. In Italy, business with key accounts was very strong, and this was also because of the company's improved commercial policies and practices. Nonetheless, distribution in our domestic market is generally very fragmented, and small retail stores keep lagging behind within a business environment which continues to be challenging. Staying on the southern European countries, Greece was really difficult and tough. Another Mediterranean market registered strong declines, reflecting the difficult economic conditions of this area. Now, looking at business drivers, the first quarter 2011 saw again, number one, a good recovery of volumes, particularly in sunglasses, with all major markets and top brands confirming the strong appeal of our collection. As I have already mentioned, we are also happy with the result of our new licensed brands, and I would say with the majority of the names in our portfolio, which continue to actually grow very nicely. Number two, our house brand Carrera maintain its pace of growth, counting on its higher penetration in Europe and in the US, and also into newer expansion in Latin American countries. Let's now talk briefly about group profitability. Group's profitability strongly improved year on year, driven by three elements. Number one, higher industrial margin, mainly reflecting better volumes and mix. Number two, lower incidence of SG&A costs, which remain substantially stable in value terms year on year, thanks also to the sale of retail business in Mexico, and mainly thanks to tight control in the wholesale business. Number three, a lighter impact of financial charges and finally a lower tax rate. Group's net debt continues to be under control, and the significant improvement of our results allow us to maintain a relatively low financial leverage. Despite the slight increase in the first quarter compared to year-end, and this is the result of the cyclical increase of working capital and the investment we made to acquire our regional headquarters and distribution center in the United States. I'm now pleased to hand it over to Vincenzo Giannelli, our CFO, for some further insights. Vincenzo?
Okay, thank you, Roberto. Let me start from slide 3 about Q1 financial highlights. Total sales were up 5.1% at 300.7 million euro. And as said, the different perimeter and exchange rates had an equal and opposite effect in the quarter, reason why the like-for-like performance remained exactly the same, namely plus 5.1%. Note that in Q1 2010, the Mexican stores registered sales of 5.1 million euro and a positive EBITDA of 600,000 euro. In terms of gross margin improved by 20 basis points at 60.9% of total sales, corresponding to 183 million euro. EBITDA reached 40.7 million euro, or 5% of total sales, 140 basis points better than the 12.1% margin achieved last year. In value terms, EBITDA grew by 17.6% year-on-year. EBIT increased even more significantly by 30.2% to 31.4 million euro, with a margin of 10.4%. 200 basis points better than in Q1 2010. We posted a 18.5 million euro net profit with a margin of 6.1% compared to the 0.6% margin, net margin in the same period of 2010. Net debt at the end of March stood at 268.2 million euro. Now I want to move quickly through the trends of our top-line growth already anticipated by Roberto in slide 4. Sales performance was the result of the good progress of our core wholesale business, which today represents roughly 95% of Safilo's total business. Revenues grew by 6.4% current currencies, 4.4% at constant exchange rates, driven by volumes and emerging fast-growing markets. The like-for-like retail business was again strong, growing by 19.1% at constant perimeter and exchange rates. Solstice comp sales were up 5.7% in the quarter, with double-digit performances in January and February and a more moderate trend in March, affected by the negative calendar effect of the later Easter season vis-a-vis last year. Store openings made up for the rest of the channel performance, as Solstice network counted 162 windows in Q1 2011 versus 156 in March 2010. As said, sunglasses were the main driver of growth in the period, with improving performances across all our major markets and top brands. Sales were up almost double digit on a like-for-like basis. On prescription frames, we were instead flat, reflecting the more difficult comparison base, as it was the only category to grow last year by 3% in the first quarter. Besides that, the product had a positive year-on-year performance in U.S. in the Trios channel, also improving its trend over the previous two quarters. Now, let's move to the regional analysis. And I will add some details. The Americas, as a region, grew by almost 9% at constant exchange rates and perimeter, with the U.S. in line with improvement of the region and Latin American countries outperforming. Revenues in the third and fourth markets of the area, Brazil and Mexico, were up respectively around 12 and 16% at constant currencies, also thanks to the better commercial and organizational structure we are building there. Asia grew double digits in the first quarter, plus 12.6% at constant currency, with Korea, India, Hong Kong, and China the best performance. In the period, Japan, which had a very good performance in January and February, which was followed by a drop, of course, following the dramatic events which occurred starting from March 11th, but it's important to state that we had no business disruptions there. In Europe, we were stable, up 0.5% at constant exchange rates. The market was positively impacted by the growth of Carrera, which increased in the region by almost 20%, and totally by 27.6% thanks to the very promising performances outside Europe, in the Americas and Asia. Moving to slide five, in terms of operating performance, the EBITDA improvement, 140 basis points, was the result of the good performance of the wholesale business, which increased from 13 to 13.9% of sales, and the exponential surge in profitability of the retail channel from 0.5% negative performance in Q1 2010 to a positive margin of 7.1% in Q1 2011. Looking back to the drivers of the progress, we can indicate that the resilience of gross margin, where industrial profitability increased mainly as a result of the increase in volumes, a better mix. While below the gross margin, selling, general and administrative expenses were reduced the total incidence on sales, thanks to the better leverage of selling and marketing costs, but also to the tight control on general and administrative costs. On the retail front, I would point out that the improvement of the retail profitability is due to a leaner and more efficient organization. On slide six, below the operating line, from a financial standpoint, we want to remark that net interest expenses declined in Q1 2011 by 27.9% following the reduction of net debt. Interest expenses related to the senior loan and other short-term lines declined by 64% to 1.1 million euro, while the yield bond cost decreased by 5% following the roughly 10 million euro redemption we made in the second half of last year. Net exchange rate differences were positive for 4.8 million euro compared to the negative net impact of 2.3 million euro they had in Q1 2010. This was mainly due to the progressive revaluation of the euro spot rate against the US dollar and other foreign currencies during the period. With reference to income taxes, in this first quarter, we could benefit of a normalized tax rate of 30.4% thanks to the improved profitability of the Italian industrial company and the consequent more balanced distribution of pre-tax profits. Moving to slide 7, the free cash flow. In the quarter, we had a small net outflow of 6.8 million euro, which was fully explained by the one-off investment we made to acquire the remaining 66.7% equity interest in the company's regional headquarters and distribution center in U.S. Besides that, the free cash flow was positively impacted by the higher result of the period, which was mostly counterbalanced by the seasonal increase of working capital, which we had already forecasted and announced during the last conference call we had in March. On this working capital, as anticipated, we experienced a strong decrease of trade payables, which reversed the surge accounted in the last months of 2010 for the seasonal increase of both volumes and inventories and at the end of 2010. Moving to slide 8, not much to add on the evolution of the group's net debt, slightly up at the end of the quarter for the factors that I have just explained. I want to just detail the composition of the 268 million euro position at the end of March, 96 million of senior loan, 185 million of yield bond, representing around 55% of our gross debt, and a net cash position of 13 million euro. The committed revolving facility of 200 million euro is, as of today, fully available. I now hand it back over to Roberto for his final remarks.
Thank you, Vincenzo. As a final remark, I would like to underline the fact that this past last quarter was another very important step in the right direction for Safilo Group. I would say that we maintain a strong focus and a firm commitment to a constant, long-term oriented growth for Safilo. In the context of a still uncertain geopolitical and macroeconomic environment, to achieve this goal, we continue to strengthen our business model, our organizational structure, and our management team. On September 29th, in Paris, we will be pleased to share with you as much as possible of the long-awaited Safilo's strategic and business plan 2011-2015. And with that, the drivers of our future development and growth. Closer to that day, we will provide you with all details for the meeting. With that said, I really would like to thank you all very much for your attention, for your time, for your dedication, and we are now available and pleased to answer to your questions. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question over the telephone at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach us. Once again, if you would like to ask a question over the telephone, please press star 1 on your telephone. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star 1. Our first question for today comes from Stefano Cormigliani, calling from Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. I have 4 questions, if I may. The first one, if you could elaborate on the gross margin at the wholesale division. It came down approximately 20 basis points from 60.5 to 60.3. If you could just explain us if there's any specific reason to project even in the forthcoming quarters. Secondly, about deferred taxes, the 5 million deferred taxes you booked in Q1, what's the reason behind this? And so also about the Forex gains you reported in the first quarter, if it's a feasible number also on a full year basis. Thirdly, if I'm right in considering a 1.3 million deduction from costs, the effect you will record on your P&L due to the acquisition of the 67% of TBR. And finally, if you could just update us on your current order intake. Thank you.
Excuse me, Stefano, Roberto here. Can you repeat the first question? Because we're not sure we got correctly, I think, your question. What did you say?
I was referring to the gross margin reported by the wholesale division in Q1. It stood at 60.3, 20 bips less than the 60.5 you posted a year ago. Nonetheless, although sales grew by 6.4%, even held by 2% by Forex, that should give a boost, generally speaking, to the margin, not a slowdown.
Yeah, I'm actually not seeing that figure that you are referring to. Where do you see it? Sorry.
But it's your on your interim report. It's at page. Let me check. 52.
Okay, so I'll start. I'll start with order intaking, and then Vincenzo will come back to your other 3 questions. As you know, we don't give a lot of information on the current month, but I would try to be as friendly and amicable as possible, saying that I could confirm the trend that we have had in the first quarter. So, as I mentioned, a stable growth has been replicated also in April, with similar dynamics in terms of geographies, with some improvement in Europe, and in terms of product categories, a similar trend where sunglasses keep performing okay, and therefore I think that a short answer to your question is April, again, is in line with the first quarter. I now give it to Vincenzo.
Okay, starting from the first question, I don't know if we're talking about the same figures, but the utile lordo industriale, the gross margin, slightly improved in terms of percentage year on year on the wholesale business, if we compare the margin in 2010 and the margin in 2011. And the slight increase is mostly due to volumes and mix, as already explained during the presentation.
But actually, if I take the number you published on your interim report, I get, I try to isolate just the wholesale performance. I'm not talking about the consolidated numbers. We land to a 20 bps dilution.
Yes, but if you compare the percentage in 2011, is higher on the wholesale business and the loan. slightly higher, but is higher.
Actually,
it's 0.2 from 59.6 percent up to 59.8. You should just take the wholesale, as we already explained. So then we can go into deeper details after the conference, but this is quite clear. In terms of the deferred tax in Q1, as you've seen, the consolidated tax rate is a normalized one in this quarter, and the effect of this deferred tax asset is mostly due to consolidated adjustments which produce this effect, this accounting effect on the consolidated net income. About the third question about the foreign exchange effect, I would say that half of it is something final, because this is about the difference in payables between the moment when we post, when we receive the goods and after the devaluation of dollars. This is mostly due to purchases from external suppliers, purchases denominated in dollars. So half of this difference is something final, and while half of the difference is due to open positions on both accounts payables and on loans denominated in dollars. And excuse me, which was the final, the fifth question?
Was about the cost we should deduct from the on an annualized basis from 11 P&L due to the acquisition of the two-thirds of the capital of the North American TBR, which I presume to be in the region of 1.3 million euro.
No, it's less than that. We will get rid of the rent, of course, but we will have the depreciation effect. So the balance is not is lower than that. It is positive, but lower than that.
Thank you.
Our next question for today comes from Gianluca Pacini, calling from Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Just a question on the retail side. So you post in the first quarter an EBITDA margin in the region of 6.87%. I was wondering if you consider this profitability as a sustainable target for the year end. And if the second question, if I may, on the tax rate, you were talking about a normalizing tax rate in the range of 31-30-something percent. Is that, again, a sustainable target for full year or 11? Thank you.
Okay, and the first question, of course, it depends on the seasonality on many different aspects, but let me say that that kind of profitability is sustainable in the rest of the year, provided that we are able to achieve the target in terms of sales. While on tax rate, it is normalized. You know that the tax rate last year was 84%. Now in the first quarter of 2011 is more or less 30%. This is due to the improvement in the performance pre-tax profit of the Italian units. Looking at the rest of the year, I think it won't be that good in the 9 months. It will be worse than that, but much better than it was last year.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question for today comes from David Vimercati, calling from UniCredit. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Couple of questions. One is on Q1 growth. Can you elaborate on the contribution of price and mix and volumes to the 5% organic growth you reported? And the second is on gross margin. Appreciate Q1 gross margin this year was already among the highest ever for the company, but do you expect with a similar organic growth through the rest of the year, you can continue to show improvements in gross margins? And finally, can you please reconcile the 9% sorry, 19% like-for-like growth in retail that you mentioned in the presentation with the 5.7% comp sales growth for sources you mentioned in the press release. Was there a difference coming from new store open during the quarter? Thank you.
Yes. On the first one, the Q1 growth, 5.1%. Of course, there are some perimeter. There is a perimeter effect because last year we had the retail chains in Mexico, and there is some exchange rate effect, the opposite effect. In terms of volumes and mix, mix is slightly better, but not that much, 1% more or less, and the rest is volume. In terms of gross margin sustainability, we know that the first quarter, let me say the first two quarters are the best ones in terms of gross margin profitability because of the seasonality, because of the higher turnover vis-a-vis the rest of the year. While on the third question, of course, the difference between the 5.7% comp sales performance and the 19% overall performance is due to the effect that during the course of 2010, so not in this quarter, not in the first quarter of 2011, but during the course of 2010, we had some more or less six new stores whose performance starting from scratch is adding this difference between 5.7 and 19%.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question for today comes from Andrea Bonfa, calling from Aletti Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, good evening to everybody. I would like to know, if it's possible, some more details on these additional sales related to the acquisition of the real estate asset in U.S., if you need to consider those as a one-off. Again, on the Forex income, I think during some last conference call, we've been left with the idea that on the currency side, especially on the U.S. dollar side, you are substantially neutral nowadays. Is that now different, looking at the gains you book in the below the EB line? So shall we expect that as long as the U.S. dollar devaluates, thanks to the purchasing side of your business, you will make some further gains? And finally, if I may again, on the tax rating, tax rate side, I know it's a very complicated issue, but I mean, the 30%, let's say the deferred tax component of the first quarter, is that a one-off of the first quarter, and the rest will be, let's say, normal, so we need to consider the 4 million deferred tax as a one-off, or these 4 million, shall we multiply them by 4 also for the rest of the year? Thank you very much.
Okay. The first question, excuse me, I want to be clear on this. You ask about additional sales related to the TBR acquisitions. I mean, TBR is just a real estate company. We purchased the 66.7% of this company. We used to rent the space of these buildings and the distribution center. Now we own and we consolidate 100% of this company, so there is no effect in terms of additional sales. We just get rid of the rent fee on one side, and we have the depreciation on the other side. In terms of US dollar being neutral, etc., we explained repeatedly that we are more or less neutral at the bottom line, at the pre-tax profit level, but of course there is a difference on the, there is an effect on the operating profit where we have the effect on the, on our margins more or less in the United States, which are partially offset by our purchases denominated in dollars. In this case, we have an effect in this quarter under the operating profit line because of this effect on payables and outstanding loan denominated in dollars. And with reference to the tax rate, you know, the deferred tax assets are more or less always one-off. There is not something which can be simply projected. We think, as I said before, that in the rest of the year, the tax rate will not be, at consolidated level, will not be that good as it was in Q1, but it will be much better than it was last year. The level of utilization of capitalization of the deferred tax asset will depend on the distribution of pre-tax profit among the different regions and countries.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question for today comes from Domenico Ghilotti, calling from Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I would like to come back to the gross profit question, apart from the 20 basis point, more or less. So I was expecting something more in terms of mixed contribution to the gross profit. And so I would like to understand if there is any specific the element in terms of raw materials or whatsoever, let's say, diluting or preventing your gross profit to grow more.
As we said, the mix is giving a positive contribution, but it's not a material contribution. While on raw materials, we said that we have basically more or less a 3% effect, but in dollars. And so the net effect in euro will depend, of course, on the exchange rate fluctuations.
And let's say to see, let's say, a more a higher gross profit trend, or should we wait for a higher, let's say, mixed contribution? Is it this the main driver for boosting further your gross profit margin?
As I said before, if you look at the absolute value, the percentage, we have a better percentage, a better margin in the first quarters of the year. If you look at the difference, the variance year on year, of course it will depend on all the different factors, including mix, but the most important is volumes. In terms of raw materials, we will have that kind of pressure in terms of inflation year on year, but on the other hand, we are having also some efficiencies in our manufacturing footprint year on year, and there will be also the positive contribution of the additional volumes of components and semi-finished products that we will be producing, manufacturing in our Chinese factory.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question over the telephone, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question for today is a follow-up from Gianluca Pacini, calling from Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon again. Just a clarification on the debt refinancing activity. In the last conference call, we talked about the possibility of refinancing in the medium term. Is it still possible, or are you expecting the result of the planning and the business plan to decide about that?
As I said in the last call, it's not in the agenda now. Short term, it's something we can work on in the longer term. We went through a major restructuring just a year ago, 12 months ago, and so major refinancing will be possibly addressed later, not now. It's not on the agenda now.
Yeah, I think if I can add on what Vincenzo had mentioned, I would say that we have had a strong improvement because net interest expenses decline substantially.
Yes.
And I think that we will be opportunistic, but there is no rush into any refinancing anytime soon. Of course, we'll always review the capital structure of the company, but we'll try to be opportunistic there.
Okay, thank you.
As we have no further questions at this time, I would like to hand the call back to our host for today, Mr. Roberto Fedovoto, for any additional or closing remarks.
So thank you very much for your attention and for your questions, and we'd like to wish you a good night, and we're looking forward to talking to you soon. Thank you very much. Bye.